WBDGFM HD1, Indianapolis.
You're listening to Ben Davis Giants Football on WBDG, Indianapolis.
Hey, let's go!
It's going to be fourth down, last play of the game, barring a penalty.
It all comes down to this.
Open your action.
Victory will not be handed to you.
Tom Allen jumping up and down, getting everybody into it. One play.
Number one, Ben Davis Football is physical. Number one, Ben Davis Football is hit.
Who's going to go home?
All you seniors. Will
you let
this be taken away from you?
No, sorry.
No way.
You must go seize the
moment.
It's
going to come down to the signal. Touchdown, Ben Davis. Touchdown, Ben Davis. The Giants win.
I am honored every day to put on something that says Ben Davis Football. I am honored.
When you hit the door, you're a Ben Davis Giant.
This is Ben Davis. We're coming.
And welcome to Inside Ben Davis Football on Indy's Giant 90.9. John Easter here tonight, along with Bryson Hill. Good evening, Bryson.
Good evening.
And, of course, the head coach of the Ben Davis Giants, Coach Russ Mann. Coach, how are you tonight?
Good evening. Good evening. Doing well.
Finally
doing well.
Getting some fall weather out there.
Feels
a little
great.
Bit.
Yeah. Feels great.
I figured you'd be a big fan of the fall weather approaching, because that means it's getting towards playoff time.
November football.
Yep. So, heading into the show, 43-0 loss to Carmel. And Bryson, obviously, first question.
Yeah, I mean, let's get right into it. Their run was pretty heavy. It seems like they split a lot of between three runners, split it pretty well. 16 carries for Colin Ayer. I know he was the quarterback, so a lot of scrambles there, I assume. And then Johnson had 12 carries, and Pemberton also had 14 carries. How difficult is that when you have to count for multiple people on the ground game?
Some of the in this area right now, a lot of the quarterbacks are pretty athletic and can run the football all across both conferences, the ACC and the MIC. The scrambles are definitely something you got to keep an eye on. But some of the ones that Carmel had were design runs on Friday night, and the very first one with him pulling it to the field. A lot of quarterbacks pulling it to the field right now. Carmel's doing that and doing it pretty effectively. So you got to see it the first time that it got us on the very first play of the game, the different speed of it, the different it just hit a hair differently than maybe what the players are ready for. We misfitted one little thing, and then there was a missed tackle. But other than that, I thought defending the pass well, but then defending the run, that's something with Kevin Wright's offense. Coach Wright has done that for years and decades when he whatever program he has. Like, I've seen him run three different offenses, and they've all been able to run the ball at a very high level.
Yeah, and also looks like they sacked you guys seven times on Friday. What is kind of your message to whoever the quarterback there? Obviously, it is Gabe. What is your kind of message to him as he keeps getting pressured, he keeps going down, and, you know, he's frustrated because he's not getting the time he wants, he's not getting the looks he wants? What's your message to him on the sidelines to just try to keep him up, even though the pressure's there, he's getting sacked, he's whatever the case may be?
A few of those were caused by a snap that was a little lower that took him out of the pocket area. Being in the pocket, feeling the presence. When you feel the pressure, you see the DNs disappear. That gives you the natural reaction to step up, and then you have some exits that you can have after that. And Carmel has they have a completely different culture on defense right now. What they have been way back in the past is kind of where they are again now. They have an attitude to them. They have their physicality to them. They're playing to their strengths. They kept it very, very simple on some things that they were doing, where they were taking away some of the best things that we can do away with somehow. They were rotating some of the coverages behind us, and that clouds up some windows. And then some of that pressure that came off the edge, just if you're not stepping up and getting into a comfortable spot to make the ends get around the hoops, and it happens a little faster. So do not like seeing our quarterbacks take that many body shots during the game. So protecting our guys this week, there's different ways to do that. That's developing passing plays, developing the timing routes, or getting out quicks and screens, and taking care of quarterbacks with the passing schemes.
Yeah, and, you know, you shut out again on Friday, second time this season. What do you think is the biggest difference you've seen from the first game against Cathedral, where you were shut out, and up till now against this most recent loss to Carmel? Because both being shutouts, obviously, one being significantly more points scored on you. But what do you think has been the biggest change, positively or negatively, from both of those games?
Well, the first game, a lot of those defenses were prepared for each other there. Like this last game, there's a lot of different personnel things that we were dealing with going into Friday night. Then some early injuries took us out of the game plan that we had developed. There were two players who haven't been missing at all, who are not injured or not. They were taken out early. They got us out of a different package that we were planning to use. So that got us into some things that kind of out of a little bit of a comfort zone that we wanted. That was something that we knew would be playing into Carmel's strength. So that gave Carmel an advantage on Friday night.
Yeah, and you mentioned those injuries. How hard is that for you to readjust, whether it's no matter what position it is? Because every player makes a big difference, whether it's kicker, quarterback, tight end, whatever the case may be. How do you adjust to injuries like that? And, it really just switches the whole game plan around.
Well, there's enough depth in our program and in any 6A program that there should be enough depth or planned or prepared for potential injuries. We were already in some rough waters going into that game. And I've always grinned at articles on Saturday when I read after we would any type of win, and the opponent's coach says something about, like, we're just so banged up right now. Like, and everybody is. Everybody in the state of Indiana is. Anybody that's playing right now, everybody's hurt. There's not a football player in the state of Indiana that says, I feel good right now, 100%. Like, we're this deep in the middle of October. There are things that hurt that they did not know existed in August. Like, there are parts of players' bodies that just, they're sitting in class tomorrow. They're hurting. They're all hurting. But we've got some injuries right now. Like, young squad that's learning how to deal with it, manage it. Take a walk through the training room right after school. There's quite a few football players in there, but they're professionally handling that part right. Like, they're doing things very well and trying to get themselves back. They busted out of here, out of school after eighth period. And our training staff, our athletic training staff, does a great job with them, and they have been all year. And they do a great job here with getting the players back. So. We are in a situation right now where piece by piece, like as people start to kind of feel their bodies above 70, 75% again, just add to the weapons that we can have on Friday night.
100%. And, like you said, it gives you a little bit of relief knowing that this group is professional and will try to take care of themselves, because maybe some guys go back after a game, they're like, oh, that hurts, I'm just going to let it be. But, that from how you explain it, you seem like they're taking proper care of themselves, whatever that may be, to heal the body up and whatnot. But
for sure, the whole process of doing it, like, it's got to be consistent. It has to be. There are times that players, if they're young starters, they'll be slow to the training room, or they'll be slow out of the training room, or they'll forget a treatment or something. Our guys are doing a great job of. Making it as efficient as possible, getting back as efficient as possible, leaving the training room, get out to practice as quick as possible, getting to meetings or whatever it might be. So that's the professional part that these guys are, the compliments of them right now.
Yeah, and it's great to see that with such a young group as well. It's not like you have a grizzled veteran group here that have been doing it and know what kind of techniques work for them or whatnot and whatever the case may be. And the next question I'm about to ask, it's very similar to the one last week. I don't know if you remember, I asked you something similar of being a player, comparing it to a coach and whatnot. Obviously, you guys are 1-6 and a bit of a slump. How does comparing that to having slumps maybe when you're a player compared to now as a coach, and how you can use whatever the case was in the past as, maybe a player like yourself, you're mad at your coach or you're mad at your teammates, and how can you use that to your advantage as now being a head coach and trying to, it's redundant, but trying to keep the positivity up?
Well, there are two different seasons that I can base this on as a player. One was my junior year in high school. We went 2-8, and one thing I felt during that season is as there was a few of us that were bringing the team closer together near the end of the season. And we had, I can tell you right now, usually scores stick in my head as they are, 1997 Elkhart Memorial, we lost 17-14. We had just taken the lead with probably about 3 minutes to go in the game, and kicked it off, and believe the returner was Malone for Elkhart Memorial, and he broke about 3-4 tackles, and our safety had him. Joe Bott tripped him up, and that was how our season ended. That was the final score against us. We lost 17-14, and that was like an 8-1 football team that we were playing. So that we still we had belief. We had some things that some leaders of our program that were going around pulling people closer and getting everybody on the same page. My sophomore year in college was another 2-8 season. And used a lot of those tactics to make sure that that if there are people that begin to do their own things and separate from the way that we're supposed to be going, that's when blowouts happen. That's when bad losses happen. That's when personal fouls happen. But when everybody is getting closer and attention to detail is even at a higher level, the focus is even better. Like, it doesn't matter who has the success and how just matters that the score for the Giants is more than the score of the opponent by the end of the game. So that's been the message since probably about the beginning of last week, and that's the direction we're heading right now.
Yeah, and kind of on that same boat there, what's the biggest, obviously besides the two wins here in the last two games of the season, what is the biggest takeaways you're taking from here until your last game?
Well, I said there's a sign in our office right now that says the unranked Giants win the state championship. That was against Fort Wayne Snyder. I believe the score was 31-7. What year would that have been? 2001?
2002, I believe, yeah.
Think it was 2006, 2007. Right about this time of the year, the Northwood Panthers were sitting about the same record. That's a little bit smaller class, but I told our guys after practice today, I said when we played in the state championship in 2023, the game before us was East Central and Northwood. East Central went on to win that game, but Northwood has made a lot of appearances down to the state championship and have won a few of them. I said they went to the playoffs 3-6, and they came out as the state champions. Like, when you get to this late in the season, if a defense gets hot, it doesn't matter what offense is in front of them. If a defense gets hot and a defense starts believing, it doesn't matter if that team is 1-8, 2-7, 3-6, 4-5. It doesn't matter, because if they start to get an offensive coordinator shut down on a Friday night, they can make a run in the playoffs.
Well, and to coach on the other side on Friday night, you had a Carmel team who really the last years, no disrespect to Coach Hebert and what he did up there, because he's won state championships multiple.
He went to them.
But a team really the North didn't have to worry so much about.
Oh, it's a little bit different path.
It's a little different this year. Obviously, I think Carmel is probably the favorite now to come out of the North with Crown Point or, you know, some of those other teams up there in the HCC. But what kind of difference, you mentioned defensively, but just in general, what kind of difference did you see from their attitude in that game as well?
They're very efficient on offense. Very, very efficient. Going into the game, Corner was throwing almost 80%. Now, we held him to 33%, and he had just a few misses here and there. We were trying to do our best to take away his favorite weapons that he likes to go to, and trying to give him to one of his weaker weapons, that one that couldn't hurt you as fast vertically. But that kid is a 3-year starter for the program, and him and Coach Wright are very efficient together. Like, hey, you might even know the slant is coming. You might teams have taken away, but they catch it for about 6-7 yards with a tackle right behind them and a corner on them, and it's move the sticks. And so Coach Wright has been very efficient on offense for decades now at multiple levels. And that's one thing on offense that I thought is different from the previous years. And no disrespect to the previous offensive coaches. Hebert is a 2-time state champion coach, 2016 and 19. So he's had his state championship success, but that Carmel offense is very efficient right now.
Well, and then they're also so good on special teams too. I mean, I think that stood out. Anytime you kick 240-yard plus field goals in a game.
Yeah, and we've mentioned that, how important it is to have a reliable kicker.
Oh, yeah. We got one too. Like Brian is competing right now against Tech at Pike High School. So I know that a 3-game span there, he came in off the bench to score goals for our soccer team this year. And Brian's done a great job for us. He puts that ball wherever Coach Mello, our special teams coordinator, tells him. That guy is a kicking field goals. Usually we're not in the they might be a have a different philosophy over there at Carmel. I like going for it a lot more. Like Brian did kick 9 last year, but I like 7 points.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's going to wrap up the first segment of Inside Ben Davis Football. When we come back, we'll talk more about this week's game, the Giants and the Lawrence Central Bears. Da Bears coming up on Friday night. And this is Inside Ben Davis Football.
Thanks to Chuck Bear of eXp Realty for his support. Chuck Bear with eXp Realty offers services such as an analysis of your home's value, a marketing plan, and knowledge of the market. Serving Central Indiana counties, Chuck Bear of eXp Realty can be reached at 317-698-3339, online at exprealty.com. Thank you again to Chuck Bear of eXp Realty for his support.
Now back to Inside Ben Davis Football, presented by Bear Realty. Oh, the things we talk about while we're at break. This is Inside Ben Davis Football on Indy's Giant 90.9. That would be a show in itself, I think.
Oh, absolutely.
The cutaway, what happens when we're away. Yeah. We were just educating Bryson here on the origin of Da Bears, because that's who the Giants are playing this weekend. A certain team that starts with an L, ends with an E, and has Orange in the middle. It is the Lawrence Central Bears this week. And, oh, by the way, they're pretty good, just like everybody in the MIC. So, what you got, Bryson?
Well, I don't know how good necessarily of a question this will be, but when you look at teams that you face with similar opponents to you in the past, do you use that at all to your advantage, any sort of that tape? Because they have a lot of similar opponents y'all have faced so far this year. Pike, Warren, Center Grove. Obviously, you guys just faced Carmel. That's their last game of the season. And then they just played North Central, which is your final game of the season. How do you look at similar games to similar teams that y'all have played, and how do you implement that too?
Well, you have to be careful with the transitive property. If the transitive property were working to sports, there'd be a lot easier preparation in some of the these week long game plans that you're going for. So we use a lot of we would go more of the type of defenses that other teams run and what has had success and who looks most like our defense or whose offensive scheme is similar to ours and what has had success of them in the past, but not necessarily prepping as if, if this team be here and then this score was like this. So, because a lot of scores are very similar, either one score, two score, three score, whatever it might be, but a lot of scores have some similarities in it. So, that just kind of opens your eyes of the type of game that we're getting into on Friday night.
Yeah, 100%. You're going into another run heavy team here. Blistering game from their running back Albert Gooden, who had 25 carries for 251 yards and four touchdowns to boot with that. Hey, it kind of seems like every week you're almost running into, I don't want to call them quote unquote, I mean they are, but these star players that you're kind of running to each week by each team you face. How have you kind of gone down the season, and how have you tried to come up with the game plan to negate some of these superstars per se?
Well, I'll tell you, the LC offense has been always very, very explosive. Coach Green is back as being offensive coordinator there, and he did a nice job with Coach Patterson in a few years back. I know that I think it was 2022 when they played Westfield, and it's the only time I've seen this in my 22 years. There's a team that cracked 100 plays that they ran from scrimmage. Like in the game, there's typically, if you can run 70 offensive plays, that is a lot in a night. I know that when we played Cathedral, I think both teams were sitting in about the 50s of plays that were run against each other. When they played Westfield, they got 102 offensive snaps. That is a there's games that they've been in the 80s or 70s that have been very, very explosive. And Gooden is doing a great job. For those in this area that probably recognize that name, a lot of basketball success with his grandfather. And he's done a nice job in their backfield for years. He shared some carries last year, but he is definitely can take the workload for them. And having Coach Green back, that you can see that he has some. He attacks different fronts and different defenses. He schemes some people up. He does a great job for them.
Yeah, and getting into kind of how their offensive is explosive, their defense is also incredible. Sorry, their defense is incredible. They had five sacks. Obviously,
that's what it sounds like when they hit you. That's all you were doing there. Yep.
But hopefully,
speakers there.
Hopefully, Gabe doesn't feel any of that. But speaking of that line, you know, you guys offensive line kind of struggled a little bit on Friday. This is another team that's got a great D line who can pressure the quarterback really well. You guys give up those 7 sacks, whether that be through holding it or whatever, or those snaps being a tad low. What was kind of your message there after the game to the offensive line, and what are you kind of working on this week to improve what happened on Friday and how you can negate some of these incredible rushers that LC has?
Oh, I'm glad we're not videotaping this, because the grin that I have on my face right now, like there are quite a few different things that were handled last week and so far this week to increase the pocket time and the comfort of the quarterback. So making sure the healthiness of the front five are there, making sure that the H-backs are put back together, feel whole again, will help us in some of the protection that we will need on Friday night.
Yeah, and I guess, because that's a lot of, like, the thing with quarterbacks getting sacked or pressures, it can necessarily, like, it might not be anyone on the offensive line's fault. It might be someone holding the ball too long, or maybe a play call gets mixed up. This receiver is supposed to go in motion, or
snaps.
Yeah, this running.
Oh, there's a lot of things.
Running back was supposed to pick up this blitzer, and he didn't. He took the wrong assignment, or he went on a route he wasn't supposed to go. So how do you kind of try to make sure everything's in check there in the huddle? And obviously, a huge responsibility on that is on your freshman quarterback, Gabe Kinnett.
So. Well, like, we got to get in a groove. Got to get one thing that can help out that out is getting the ball out quick. Just kind of. Just like if a shooter is struggling in basketball, just get to the free throw line. See the ball go in the hoop a few times. So the quick game, screen game, get the ball out quick, get the offense in a groove, get the offensive line in a groove. It just helps out. Like just like a shooter going to that free throw line, everybody sees the ball go through a few times, and it kind of gets everybody making some jumpers after that.
Yeah, and speaking of, Gabe was actually here last week, and I met him for the first time, and we kind of touched on it, how young he is, and he mentioned that to me. He's like, "Are you the one that always be calling me young and stuff?" I was like, "Yeah," and I was like, "I literally said to him, I said, I don't know if anyone's told you, but you're gonna be really, really freaking good in about a year or two." And you know, he's saying thank you and stuff. But speaking of how young he is, what is
you're taller than him, aren't you?
Maybe.
Yeah.
maybe. I don't know.
Gabe's coming. He's yeah.
Go yeah. On. And. What have you seen? Because I know he still didn't get all the snaps in that very first game of the season against Cathedral. What have you seen the most that you're the most proud of, or what's changed positively? And maybe something that he still kind of is struggling with as a freshman that you think he'll be really good at next year in a sophomore year. What's kind of the biggest changes you've seen from your freshman quarterback this season?
First thing is like arm strength to go in there as a freshman and to be able to complete some of these passes. When I say this next phrase, it's not because I'm trying to compare us at all at quarterback, but I played the position quarterback. That was not what I wanted to play. It was just for what my team needed at that time. Mm-hmm. And I remember playing my freshman year. There are throws that Gabe is making that I did not make until probably my junior year of high school. Like and he's still going to develop that arm strength and be able to the ball will come out differently as he gets older, as he gets a few more years in the weight room. So right now, for him to be able to handle taking snaps for a full game in a 6A level. I know we talked, I think it was maybe yesterday or there was today, that he had said to me a few times earlier in the year, he's like, "Man, you know, I'll take one or two hits and, you know, I'm good. Now, like, as the season's going on, I think it's starting to kind of like, oh, yeah, some of those are body shots after a while. Like, yeah, these guys have been, they're 18. They've been in a weight room for 4, 5, 6 years. And I'll tell you what, I've been pretty proud of him. He is a tough little nut that he keeps coming back, and he is a competitive dude. There's a lot of things he's locking in right now. There's some times that we talk after games, and I like the fire in this kid's eye. Like, he is ready for, you know, round two, round three, round four for some of these opponents right now. He's remembering some things.
Yeah, Hunter, he seems amazing and talented. And speaking of that, you know, you always come with flaws in the quarterback position, no matter who you are, whether it's best in the NFL, best in, you know, the state of wherever you play, high school, college, whatever the level, they always come across flaws as a quarterback. And, you know, we have seen Gabe be turnover prone in some games, throw a couple of interceptions. What is the message that you're relaying to not only Kinnett, but also the rest of the team? And what message do you want Gabe to relay to his receivers, his line, after a turnover, whether it is an interception or fumbling and whatnot. What's kind of your message to not get the morale down after turnover?
And he's done a nice job of controlling those. There was an issue at the beginning of the year. There was some things that, maybe he thought he saw there, or, he was, again, his last season was in eighth grade, I guess. So some of the eighth grade competition that he went against, those windows probably closed a lot slower.
Yeah. Sorry to interrupt you here, but obviously, level, they're going to be able to read your passes a lot more better, be able to remember that film a little bit better than those eighth graders will. But
skipping your freshman and JV experiences going to varsity and a completely different conference. He was in a different conference as an eighth grader, and this is some of the windows closed a little bit quicker than maybe and had anticipated before coming at the high school level. But he made those adjustments because he's a competitor. He's a great little quarterback. But some of the things that some of the arm strength part will come over time. Like again, he's a young I make some of the throws he made until my junior year.
Coach, I'm sorry.
I just one more question here, then you can continue. But and also staying on the same note you were, it's also the athletic ability from all these defensive players around the state now. Like you went from maybe getting pressured by fellow eighth graders that were maybe the same size, maybe a little bigger than you, to getting pressured by, full grown men now who are, super tall.
Going to Alabama. And
super big, all these commits. So,
and I'll tell you, the kid for La Carma last week was pretty good going to Duke, number one. He kind of changed the culture of that defense, and we were trying to do our best to keep that guy away from our 13 for his, whether it was making sure, keep 13 away from number one.
And you guys got some studs on your own in there, too.
They're coming.
So, Coach, I've been wanting to ask this question, and I don't know if it's the right question, but I'll ask it because, in many ways, anybody that sits in your seat as the head football coach at Ben Davis High School is always going to be measured up to everything that's come before it in the last 40 years or so here at Ben Davis High School. So since Dick Dullahan walked through the door and Bob Wilbur before him, we've talked about his contributions. But, I guess the question is, you're 1-6 now, obviously not to the standard of some of those past Ben Davis teams. I think you would agree with that.
Absolutely.
How are you doing? How are you and what's that like to, that, because I know the players hear it too. They hear it from people outside of the program. If you walk on any social media sites, you hear it there. How are you doing with it, and what do you want those people to know?
It is about funny. This team? It's funny that you asked that question, because I actually came. I was scrolling on Twitter the other day, and I came across, I forget who it was, but it was some high school reporter here in Indiana, and the article headline was "What's Gone Wrong with Ben Davis This Season."
Yeah,
and it was just an article, and it was just a lot of it was the inexperience. But I'll let you answer. I'll let you answer the question.
Well, I appreciate you asking. You guys, obviously, the 1-6 is not the direction that we wanted right now. But going back to where, the 40 years of history here, Ben Davis raised the bar here of Indiana football. And there are a lot of people that began to catch up to Ben Davis here and there. In the late 80s, early 90s, there was 4 or 5 state championships, won here. In the middle 2000s, Warren took it to another level, won 4 in a row there. And the Center Grove took it to the 6A level and got 3 in a row here. Because of the success of and the importance of football at Ben Davis in the 80s, and going all in on a strength coach and going all in on a football program and what it does for the beginning of a school year, and that it sets the tone for the discipline is down in a school year when this football team is better. In passing on to girls basketball and boys basketball, and they continue with their success, and all of a sudden it's spring break. And then it's prom asking season, and then it's graduation, and that school year is probably 25 to 33% down in referrals. The morale of the teachers is up. Well, a lot of different schools in this area have found that having success in football does help out the morale of the whole school. And we have about 18 programs in this area right now that are all trying to be like what Ben Davis was in the late 80s, early 90s, and what Warren was in the mid 2000s. So the parity's out there. And if you go into a season like we already kind of went in with a lot of youth, and then have a few injuries on top of that. Like, well, it's what was woken up in the late 80s and early 90s with the 1991 National Championship team, where Coach Dillahan caught up to Bobby Knight, like I've said on an earlier show. But a lot of administrations, a lot of especially in this Indianapolis area, have taken football to a whole other level. So when you have any type of adversity in a season, or you have any type of season that we went into with a lot of youth, and then how we've handled it and how it's gone, you've got a lot of dogs that are right around the corner that all have squads. And so we've got two conferences here in the Central Indiana that are probably the two best in the Midwest, if not even bigger than like the whole entire nation.
All right.
Final thoughts for this Friday?
It's time to get hot. Like, it doesn't matter who we put on that field. Like, it doesn't matter who, the puppies are beyond that stage right now. They're dogs now.
To be fair, that hot streak could start anywhere from now to this Friday to October 31st.
Oh, that's section round one. I like where your head's at.
Two wins.
Halloween.
Two wins. You're Halloween. 3-2 in the mix, too. So you can still be over 500 in the conference.
Yes, sir.
And it's right there for the Giants. They'll start Friday night up at Lawrence Central. Should be a great game between the Giants and the Bears. That's coming up 7 o'clock for the kickoff, 6 p.m. for our pregame. And we'll have Zion Brown coming back for alumni weekend here on Indy's Giant 90.9. So Zion Brown will be with us, along with Bryson Hill with the call, and much, much more. Lots to come on Inside Ben Davis Football here in Indy's Giant 90.9. Season goes on, folks.
Yes, sir.
And everything resets on Halloween.
This has been a presentation of the Ben Davis Sports Radio Network.